As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, what's up? I'm Gregor. He lives in Spokane, and he's Brandon. Hi, Brandon!
Dude, it's almost Easter, and it's snowing outside right now.
We got a little bit of snow right before I went to an outdoor birthday party for a 2-year-old yesterday.
I looked outside and it was sunny, and I walked downstairs and I was like talking to my wife. I said, "Hey, let's go for a walk." And my dog lost his mind because he hears that word and he goes crazy. Yeah. And she's like, "Okay, I guess we have to now." And we step outside, and as soon as we step outside, it starts snowing. Even though it had been sunny and beautiful literally 30 seconds before. So if there's one thing that I hate about this planet, other than humans, it's the weather.
Go back to the Gregor's Nerd Talk on whatever podcast provider you have, and you can see how we spent an entire episode just trashing the human race. So yeah. It was trashing the planet. So there we go.
Of which we are a part. We're not like, we're not aliens. Right?
Yeah, no, I mean, anyone that knows me knows I hate myself regardless if we're talking about the human race or not.
So, I hate humans, including me.
Especially me.
Like, top of my list of humans that I hate, this guy.
Yeah, Brandon, you're not even top 20 on my list, so.
Okay, my wife asked me if you were tired of me yet. It's like, hey now, just because you and me are tired of me doesn't mean that everybody's tired of me.
She realizes that all we do is make jokes and laugh because it's obligatory, right?
Yeah, like, right.
If
right.
she would laugh at all of your jokes all the time, I think her life would be way better.
I mean, I tell her that too.
For
I
you, mean, at least.
Yeah, it'd be better for me.
I was with my wife talking to someone about something the other day, and I was like, I mean, we've established that she's pretty much tired of me performing for her.
Yeah.
And rather than being like, oh, stop, she's like, mm-hmm. And
I was like, she's like, no, yeah, actually.
I was like, back to therapy, here we go. Oh, no. My only purpose in life besides being a dad and husband is this.
Yeah. If anyway. I'm not funny, I'm nothing.
Uh-oh. Neither of us is a scientist, so we don't have that to fall back on. Engineer, supervillain.
Yet.
But if you are, let us know what we get wrong and perhaps what we sometimes even get right, maybe? I don't know.
You are either right. Way, you do hate yourself.
Okay, good.
Oh, my therapist is listening.
I've been paying money for that opinion. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Anyway, if you could help spread the word, share something on social media when we put it out there, or leave a review on the podcast provider of your choice, or just holler at us with the answer to this episode's question of the week.
This week's question of the week. So what you need to do right now is go to whatever podcast provider you use, even if you're listening to this live at the moment.
Hi.
Go to whichever podcast provider you use, search for Gregor's Nerd Talk, and tell us, which historical event are you glad that you did not live through?
Boy, there's a lot of them because a lot of them involve not having antibiotics. So like,
yeah.
You ever see that episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where it's like the revolutionary times, the guy's head gets blown up?
Yeah. I feel like there are so many historical events in the history of this planet that are bad. I mean, most of history at this point is bad.
Full stop.
Yeah. But what's the one that you are the most glad, I suppose, that you didn't? Like, I feel like if you were a person who is, I mean, I lived in Seattle for a long time. I had a, I would say, non-irrational fear of volcanoes. Mm. So for me at that time, because we live so close to Mount Rainier, which is a active volcano, mm-hmm. For me at that time, like if you were to ask me this question back then, I would have said Pompeii, like for sure, the massive volcano that destroyed, you know, much of the planet or, you know, at least the atmosphere. That would have been my answer. I don't know if that's my answer now, though. So it's something that I got to think about before we get to this week's question of the week.
Imagine the drone footage that we would have now. Like if a Pompeii happened today.
Yeah.
Like it would be messed up how many TikToks you would see about it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, if there isn't a feature in TikTok where it auto publishes as soon as you get destroyed, right?
No, but plenty of people would be watching from afar and being sure, like, oh, yeah, man, yeah. Good thing I got that 9,000 millimeter lens so I can watch these people melt.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, good. Positivity.
Positivity.
So Nissan is teaming up with NASA. Perhaps you've heard of NASA. They do the space. They're going to make the next generation of electric car batteries. Previously, NASA technology has given us such wonders as Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Space bed, if you will, if you know me from long enough ago.
Tank. This
Tank. Yeah, yeah. I think the... Is that the Russians that did that, or was that us?
I don't care. It's delicious.
You ever put Tang on a marshmallow? I forget what the...
Oh, my gosh.
Adhere. Like, it's maybe you use, like... What would you do? Like, just dip the marshmallow in water and then straight into Tang and roll it around?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's like a fun dip.
Dude, it's messed up.
That seems like a... I'm going to call that a Maple Valley fun dip, because... That just seems like two things that I always had in my pantry was marshmallows and Tang. And
did you guys always have Tang, or was it like sometimes that like instant Kool-Aid stuff?
No, it was always Tang. Like my dad would always get us Tang. And so apparently NASA's turning that into car batteries now.
Your dad was always chasing that Tang. What did you call that? Maple Valley
a
fun
Maple
dip?
Valley fun dip, yeah.
Oh my god, yeah. That's just... That's what Imagine Dragons is singing about. Never mind, I'll leave it at that. Anyway, instead of the ones that we have with lithium ion, they want to make a solid state battery without any precious metals. I guess there's this tendency that if the batteries crack and catch fire, that liquid that they use to make it catches fire and is really difficult to like put out. And so they're looking at ways to make batteries that don't have that same flammability, but also without expending all of the Earth's precious resources, right? So like a lot of stuff based in silicates. And I guess that's the descriptor if you're a geologist. Maybe you are and you're listening and you could chime in, please. After the fact, obviously, because I won't be checking any social right now. But if you could check in and tell us, like, the Earth's rocks are largely silicates. And so if we could take just regular, you know, whatever the Earth is mostly made out of, granite or something probably, and use that to make batteries, it would be badass. So what they're doing is they're launching a supercomputer to just clock through, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of combinations of easy to extract minerals from the ground and trying to just find a few that might be the most practical, easiest to test, and then easiest to manufacture before giving it over to the real world and having scientists try and replicate it. The idea is that they'll have a special custom lab or factory built for it by the end of next year, 2024 maybe, and then by 2028 be able to produce solid state batteries with way less of a footprint. So I think it's a little bit greener. It feels like the type of AI that I can get behind.
Yeah, I mean, have you heard about the molten salt batteries? Like, this is just making me think about molten salt, talking about things that the Earth has.
I believe it's pronounced Morton's.
Morton's. Oh, yeah, you're right. That stuff that I put on my pizza crust.
And I have heard of salt, yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, so you've heard of salt. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Have you heard of salt?
It's just delicious. I just wanted to bring it up.
Have you heard of salt goo? Or lava salt?
Oh, I'm in. Let's go.
The Death Valley Fun Dip? So it's kind of a similar concept, right? Where we are looking at... or scientists are looking at new ways to store lots of battery or lots of energy, right? So they look at wind turbines or just grid energy storage in general, to solar power, right? Like one of the things is like it takes power, it takes energy in order to store energy. Now if you can store a lot of energy into non-molten salt, so you can store it into solid salt, into the electrolytes that are there, you can actually store a lot of energy and not have to expend that energy until you then have to melt that salt, basically superheat that salt in order to release the energy. I don't know so much about it to know, like, I think that they are thinking about how they can use it in electric vehicles. But the problem of superheating the salt, I don't think that it's as flammable as lithium ion or anything like that. But I'm curious if some of the technology that Nissan will look at and NASA will look at is going to be into like salt batteries. I mean, this is a technology that's existed since World War II. Really is when they started to really figure out that they could store energy in salt. But there's a lot of salt on the earth. Just look at Portland Timbers fans every time a player does something.
That's our other podcast, Full 90 Soccer Time. You can hear us talk all about trash about the Portland Timbers and their fans, I guess. Anyway, I'm excited by the prospect of having, you know, something that is, it only will become less expensive if it's something that is easy to access and replicate. And then if we could, like, one of the big drawbacks to the EVs is you make a giant mountain of dead batteries and then, you know, do another form of pollution. And it's always a give and take. You want a greener something, you're going to have the byproduct is going to be the next challenge that you have to solve. And eventually,
well, as we talked about last week, we can't just dump it in a volcano because
why
that,
not? I still don't know why.
Acid rain, apparently.
Whatever, man. Gosh. Okay, well. Anyway, Chipotle's in response to their current labor shortages, is working with Miso Robotics. Maybe check this out. Are Miso the ones that made the fry robot and the burger flipping one, Flippy, the burger robot? Miso Robotics to debut a new chip-making robot. First of all, this is news to me. I did not know Chipotle made their own chips on site, but that's pretty dope, I guess. Chippy will cook and season arguably Chipotle's best feature for us non-cilantro eaters. I don't like cilantro. They put it in a lot of stuff. No, I'm not throwing any salt at Chipotle. But for me, their best item is the chips because there's no cilantro involved in it. Their rice has cilantro, or at least last time I ate there.
I think that they do some lime on those chips.
Yeah, that lime salt combo that they do, my nuclear energy in there, bro. That's, I'm ready. That's how you power the robots in the future. Anyway, they're going to replace human laborers with this because they say that they're having a hard time finding people for that. We got a fry cooking bot, a cheeseburger flipping machine. Why not chips?
Flippy is also made by Miso Robotics. So yes, Miso is the company that is out there replacing all of our, filling vacancies, apparently. I went into a McDonald's recently. I was on a road trip, and it was like the only food for miles.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
went into a McDonald's, and I, for the first time, got to experience the virtual ordering, where you go through, you'd like a touch screen inside, even though there's people standing right there willing to help you. It's like, as we've already discussed on this show, I don't like humans, so I worked with the robot and ordered the food. I thought it was really interesting. Now, the problem is that you've got robots making our chips, and now the way that conspiracy theories work is you don't need very many facts in order to create one of these. So I'm curious of
a robot. I think you do need a lot of facts to create a robot.
Yeah, probably. Well, a fax, they are fax machines.
My robot sends a fax.
How long until a conspiracy theory exists that these chip robots are actually putting microchips in the chips, and those microchips are being put in you to be controlled by whoever the CEO of Chipotle is. Chipotle.
Yeah, Chipotle. Like, that's, yeah. It's all,
it's micro Chipotle.
Yeah, it's computer micro Chipotle.
Yeah.
A robot must run the corporation now. That's the only explanation, right?
That is, yeah. It's anyway. Like, what is it in DC? Or no, sorry, not DC, but in Marvel, all of the, are they called the Skrulls? Or the the alien that can replicate, like, the whole next phase of the DC or the Marvel universe. Oh my gosh, what a terrible person I am. The whole next phase of the Marvel universe is basically this alien species that was first introduced in the Captain Marvel with they are actually replacing many of the world leaders and because they can change their shape and stuff like that. So cool. Maybe Chipotle is slowly doing that as well by making CEOs of fast food restaurants robots, apparently. That's my conspiracy theory. And I think it's a harmless enough conspiracy theory that it's like birds aren't real, you know?
Yeah. I brought that up the other day. Someone was like, what are you talking
about? It's not hurting anybody.
Yeah, man, except for my ratings, but yeah, I got it. Like,
wizard birds are real, though.
That was a long way to go for that, Brandon. I'm glad you took us there. That's good. Hey, so congrats to SpaceX for launching a rocket with a crew capsule at the top there, the old Dragon crew capsule, to take four private astronauts. One is a retired NASA astronaut, and then three other people who paid to go to the International Space Station for an 8-day round-trip adventure. That's the same that the astronauts did when they went to the moon, mind you. I wonder if there's something tied in with that. Anyway, you pay $55 million to get on that rocket and go up there. And I gotta tell you, with like Kanye being a billionaire and Rihanna and whoever else that now has hit billionaire status, $55 million doesn't seem like...
To go to space?
To go to the space station.
Yeah.
And spend, you know, it takes a day to get there and dock probably, and then you got to come back over the course of half a day. So you're like, what, on the space station for 6 days doing science experiments? They have to train for something like 750 to 1,000 hours beforehand, which I think is appropriate. But SpaceX is just effectively leasing the space to Axiom, which is the group that we've talked about before that has the plans to use the current International Space Station to help build and launch their own sets of space stations to do things in low gravity, like perhaps sports or events or concerts or movies or whatever. And so this is kind of one of their first tests to send people up there. They're doing work for like cancer research and stuff. And so it's like real work that these astronauts are doing while they're up there. NASA, though, holy crap, this is so crazy. If you want to go up there and just have lodging for your human flesh sack of a body to pollute space instead of the Earth, you have to spend like $11,000 a day is what NASA charges for the, you know, for the stay, the room and board, or no, just the room.
I feel like that's cheaper than some hotels that these rich people stay at in the U.S. So that doesn't seem like $11,000 is a lot. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not a rich person that's just talking about $11,000 as if it's not real money, but like, if you're that rich, $11,000 is not real money to you.
So you take that $11,000 for just the roof over your head and the ability
and
to have
under
oxygen.
Your head.
The ability to have oxygen and then the scrubbers to take the carbon dioxide out. That's what you're paying for. Then if you want food or a gym or to put your hook your anus up to a space toilet, you're going to have to pay another $20,000+. So it works out to be about $30,000 a night per person, or about $250,000 for the, you know, multi-day stay that you're up there for, compared to the $55 million to get you there. Not a big deal.
Still, like $250,000 per day, like for a, I mean, I just, what I assume rich people pay for stuff.
$250,000 per trip, per trip.
Yeah. It does kind of feel funny to me that, that NASA is like, it's only $11,000 to stay, but then like the mini bar is replaced by a toilet. Like, if you want to poop, it's another $30,000 a day.
Nah, it's cool. I'll hold it.
Yeah, no, that's not
prison
worth it
style.
Yeah, I'll poop in the lobby where I'm not paying a premium for having you put it in my fridge.
Well, there we are, folks.
Just so you know how I use hotels.
Well, researchers at the University of Washington have created tiny battery-free sensors that appear to float in the wind like a dandelion spore that you've just blown right off of that little stem. So we can better measure, using these things, to measure environmental factors like airflow or wind speed or whatever. The idea is to get them into the atmosphere and have them fly around and we can study what's going on. They're probably also inadvertently created a way to monitor bird bellies, because I can only imagine that this thing looks like a mosquito and that swallows at about you know, 30 minutes before sundown are going to be out there gobbling them up. So
no, it's just now we have a bunch of robot surveillance birds that are just swallowing up these robot surveillance mosquitoes at this point. So
I like that this podcast is like birds aren't real.
Yeah.
But like, is it tongue in cheek?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You know, like with my luck, I'm going to end up being allergic to these battery-free sensors that are floating through the wind as well. Because, I mean, are they like everything?
I'm allergic to alderwood, cottonwood, and
battery-free dandelion size sensors.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, as I think we talked about a while ago on this show that, you know, for a long time, we've been cutting open whales. Not we haven't been cutting open whales, but humans cut open whales and find like a bunch of microplastics in their stomachs.
Ambergris
like
also.
That. Yeah, and ambergris, which is worth a lot more than those microplastics.
Yeah.
Ambergris, they use to make perfume and things like that. It's a very, like one of the most expensive substances per ounce or something like that on the planet.
Supposedly, it smells like what it would be like after an eight-day stay on the space station without paying the toilet fee. That's what I hear. That's my understanding.
I bet you rich people do eat ambergris. I would not be surprised. Yeah, disgusting. Also babies.
What? Babies eat it or they eat babies?
I'm pretty sure this podcast is very low on the totem pole of conspiracy theories, but I'm pretty sure the QAnon thinks that rich people eat babies
in
order to stay young.
Yeah,
now,
cool, okay.
But what we found also, as we talked about on the show before, is that we are also starting to find those microplastics in human blood.
Yeah.
And so
deep within someone's lungs now they're finding it.
Fun. Yeah. So good thing that we are making tiny battery-free sensors that are going to float into the wind and definitely be inhaled and sneezed out by me. because that does not seem... I feel like everything we do as humans is very short-sighted. It's like we're going to make I was even thinking about the battery thing earlier. The Nissan and NASA are making this solid-state battery. We're going to find out in 50 years that something else about that battery is ruined. Like, we're going to have massive quarries where we're digging out all of the salt and turning it into salt lava, which actually sounds like an amazing... like savory dessert, salt lava. That sounds so good.
It's like, put on some fresh salmon.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want your molten chocolate cake or your salt lava salmon?
Oh, that sounds.
Doesn't that sound good?
Like, that sounds real good. Good.
Yeah. Like, we're going to have some quarries, and it's going to be terrible for the Earth. So at the same time, we're releasing all of these sensors out into the air to be blown around all wispy. Like, what are we going to inhale and, like, turn into plastic people? Or maybe these robot Chipotle CEOs are going to inhale them and sneeze, and that's what they'll be allergic to.
That's the allergens for the robots.
For the robots that are replacing our humans.
It's like War of the Worlds when they show up and they catch our infection, or like our bacteria, and it kills them.
Yeah, it's like... it's when those robo dogs and the robo people that Boston Dynamics are creating, they're going to be running around and just like sneezing, and we're going to be like, "Where's the robot?" It's going to be the window shutdown noise is going to be their sneeze.
There, yeah, just like that.
Stephen Hawking, bless you. Or I guess it'd be like Isaac Asimov, bless you.
I feel like this is like an over-the-air upgrade for your robot surveillance birds. Like, it's like, just program these things with it. The birds eat them up as if just like, oh, it's just a mosquito. Or it'll be the new way to deliver robot malaria.
This is how we surveil the surveillance birds.
Finally.
Yeah.
I have a feeling they'll probably just use it to like track weather and like the severity of storms and how it's changing over time.
And it'll all end up in the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, so no big deal.
Yeah. Ah, perfect. In the whales, just like we like it. There's an article at ScienceAlert.com arguing why it's pretty messed up of us to create a proposed octopus farm similar to fish farming to grow, kill, and serve up hundreds of thousands of little octopus every year. I got to tell you, it was one of the more disconcerting things about visiting Japan is you walk by, like, in the what do you call that? Where you have like a market and there's just like food stalls.
Like open air markets,
Yeah, and one of them is just like, especially, I think, I didn't go there, but the Osaka specifically is supposed to be really known for it. And you see these like little fried octopuses that look like a golf ball with some legs sticking off of them. And they've been battered and fried and people love it. And I'm like, aren't octopus like highly intelligent, capable of communicating and like, they're like sneaky and can escape from things. Like, shouldn't we not be eating them, Japan? And I know they eat them here too, don't get me wrong, but it's like, that was like really, I don't know, I eat sushi, so I'm eating like uncooked meat all the time and stuff like that.
Yeah, but fish are animal, dumb.
So
birds aren't real, I mean, fish are dumb.
Yeah, that's a go hand in hand. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, I find that weird in itself that we would eat octopus, but I just learned that there are two underwater octopus cities in Australia off of one of the barrier reefs or something, I don't know, where a whole mess of these eight-legged badasses have... Now, keep in mind, they're normally solitary creatures except for at mating where they fight to sex, and it's like my personal life, but they... but they usually are solitary, but they've established these like conclaves where there's a hierarchy and they fight over who's higher up in the hierarchy for turf and sex and stuff. And it's crazy that that's like the natural progression. And my mind goes to like, oh, well, they're planning an attack.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, they must have weapons or something.
It's like them, dolphins, and cows are like the three smartest animals on the planet. And they're going to team up and take us down.
Yo. Are cows smart?
Cows are smart, dude. I know.
I think
octopus are smarter, but cows are smart.
Japan like comes here and they're like, wow,
they're like, okay, hold up. All right, Greg. Wait,
hold on, my phone's blowing up. Oh, it's Japan.
Hey, so hello? we heard your octopus take, and dude, you know
hot
cow
garbage.
Smart too, right?
Hot garbage.
Damn, I've eaten like 500 cows in my life. This is not good. Oh,
you
no.
ever wonder, like, at the end of your life, that like, if you could look at like the statistics, even at right now.
Oh,
like,
no.
If you could pull your statistics, right? Like, I've always asked the question, you know, like, if you ever take, like, a particularly long pee, you're like, I wonder how many, like, Olympic-sized, like, how much of one Olympic-sized pool in my life up to this point? Like, a question that I'll never know the answer to, right? Like, how much pee have I peed?
Could I
see it in a single quantity?
Are you a frequent peer, like, or are you a only, some like, only, like, specific, like, times a day?
We've talked about this before on this show.
I don't remember.
We talked about like the normal amount of time to pee for.
Yeah.
I definitely pee for too long, but I also pee somewhat frequently. So, but like not in like a problematic way, like where I should probably go see a doctor. I've looked it up. Don't worry. Now, so like the questions that I have are like, you know, how much of an Olympic sized pool have I filled up with pee, or like what's the longest, I don't know, amount of time in my, like, or, you know what, I was actually talking about this with my wife last night. Somewhere out in the world, there is a person who is the best dad. Like, we will never know as, like, who that person is.
It is not me.
Oh, it's not me either. And that's basically what I was trying to tell my wife. She was like, what do you want for your birthday? Which is in a couple of weeks on 420, in case you were wondering. It's the best, most fun birthday to have. Now she was asking, like, what do you want for your birthday? And I was
a
like,
bong,
I want,
obviously, you know,
yeah,
me?
Obviously, I want a mug that says number one dad, because now that I'm a dad and I can drink out of that, unironically. And I'm like, you know what? I can drink out of it honestly, because I know that I am my son's best dad, because he only has one in it, me. So I can be the number one now. But that got me thinking, like, to these statistics, who is the best dad in the world? There has to be somebody who is objectively the best father. We might not know who it is, because that person
is
probably just like, I don't know. I feel like there's got to be like,
if there's a best golfer, then we can have a best. We can have a best dad. I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, probably the same person, because great dads are great golfers. As far as I know, I'm at golf. So
terrible dad.
So at the same time, I guess, like, you've brought up the point of how many cows have you eaten? Like if you took the weight of all of the steaks that you've ever eaten and all the burgers and all of the ground beef and everything that you've ever eaten, how many of like the average cow size have you eaten in your life? I feel like that's a interesting question that I like to ponder.
Much like when you have the thermometer that shows how much money you've raised and you fill it in as you go when you're raising money to save Kyle's butthole from cancer or something like that. Like when you do that, you fill that in. I want a three-dimensional cow that we fill full of ground beef as I eat. And see, do you think I've eaten a whole cow?
I think so. I would imagine that at this point in our lives that we've eaten a whole cow.
And I've lived like a third longer than you.
Yeah, this week's question of the week is, have you eaten a whole cow?
Now, Brandon, back to the pee thing. I want you to get a gallon of water and work on drinking it and see how much water you drink every day. But more importantly, I want you to hold on to the gallon container and I want you to pee into it, probably outside so your wife doesn't know that this is what we're doing. And I want to see how long it takes you to fill that up.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you pull that off for me and we'll just figure out, like, maybe we could even come up with like a, if there was a way to, we got to figure out how much pee comes out, like how much volume flows
right
on average. We need an engineer for this. And we established at the top that we are not that
we are not that person.
But if you could figure out how much, and then you could just run a faucet, like stopwatch style, just run a faucet and fill up a gallon to see, like, do you think you pee a gallon a week?
I don't know. Like, that's the thing is, like, so first of all, I'm the worst at estimating any, like, somebody,
yeah, like,
you know,
how many
those,
jelly
you know,
beans
when you go
nine,
to like,
it's 4,000.
Yeah. You go to a stadium and they're like, how many, guess the attendance. And I'm always like, I don't know, like 6,000 people. And they're like, it's 27,000. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, there are so many people. And I hate people.
I would like to point out that, do their attendance guessing the opposite way.
Right,
like,
right.
How many people do you think are here? Probably 6,000. They're like, nope, 42,000.
Yeah.
I see a lot of empty seats.
There's a lot of empty seats here.
It's a sellout.
Sold tickets, I think. Anyway, either way. But I don't know. I always wonder about those like life. Like, I forget about the octopus at this point. I agree with you. I love sushi. I love seafood. I don't eat octopus because I watched this documentary called My Octopus Teacher. Have you seen that?
No.
You should watch it because it's super artsy and kind of weird, but at the same time, like, this guy develops a relationship, not like a weird relationship, but he like goes free diving
the
and develops
beak feels
a
good on my
it's a octopus.
There it is. Thank you.
gross. Anyway, he does this like free
it
diving.
My
they do have little beaks, don't they?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you're the one who watched the documentary.
I know. He develops this like this friendship with this octopus, and like the guy is very, very, very clearly depressed, and so like it. But it's something
even
that
better.
Helps. It's something that helps him through his depression is like this relationship that he builds with this octopus. And like they are so smart. And ever since then, I'm like, man, I love calamari, but like it's something that I know that's squid, but I really don't know the difference. And so.
Is calamari squid or is it octopus?
I think it's squid. I'm pretty sure calamari is squid.
That octopus salad that people eat at sushi? Like, I don't
get
that.
I know. And so I just don't, I can't do it anymore. Like, I'm still, even if it's a squid, I'm like, there's just, I don't know. There's something about it. So. So I don't do it anymore, but I think that what I'm really curious about is like, what are the statistics that people are wishing that like at the end of their life, they could get, like, what's the statistic? Like, oh man, it's so cool. I
slept with 95 women or something like that. And you're like, yeah, I ate 7 cows.
Yeah. I slept with 7 cows.
Wait, what? Scientists in North Dakota. Two things that normally don't go together have discovered a fossilized beast that they think died, likely the same day or thereabout, of the asteroid attack that is commonly thought to have decimated the dinosaurs. It's like a mass extinction event.
Yeah.
The ultimate dinosaur drumstick, says some paleontologist whose name I forgot to write down when I was reading about it at The Guardian.
Did he bite it, though?
Way to step on the joke. They found a preserved leg with some flesh from a Thescelosaurus along with the debris of this leg. that would have rained down from the asteroid strike. So when the asteroid hit, it kicked up a bunch of stuff into the air that is like, you can see the fossil record of how that stuff landed. Well, they found a dead dinosaur, fossilized dinosaur, and the debris at the same time. And so they're like, this dinosaur died that day, which is like pretty heady.
But that's crazy.
But if I know humans, like, someone's got to be like, there's some meat on them bones. Dare you to taste it. Like, 'cause you know that's where we're going, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have to try it. Right, like,
no, the scientists are like, no, you can't do it.
It's like, how much we can, like, how big is this what's it called, Thescalosaurus, like, how big is it, is there enough that you could have a bite and still have enough to study?
Well, I mean, if you found it before you tell anybody, you could, they're like, that's weird, there's this weird bite mark in it.
5 trillion centuries rule, it's as long as
66 million years ago is what it's dated back to, at the end of the late Cretaceous period. We've talked about it recently, but when they think the giant asteroid hit somewhere in the Gulf of Mexico area and then sent out a shockwave that would have, within 1,500 miles, would have killed everything almost instantly. Or maybe it was kilometers. Whatever.
Yeah.
Within like 1,000 miles would have decimated life. Pretty bonkers.
Yeah.
Anyway, that seems like a really bad day on Earth, which brings us to this week's question of the week.
This week's question of the week is, which historical event, it's not how many pools of pee you filled up, it's which historical event are you glad that you did not live through? Have you given this any thought? Because, like, I think living through the asteroid that killed an entire, you know, generation of Earth is probably a pretty bad one, but I also feel like it wouldn't be the worst, because asteroid hits, you dead, you don't know.
Was the problem, though, is that they think that the asteroid hit in the northern hemisphere during the summer, so in the southern hemisphere, the mammal-y type stuff and stuff that needed to hibernate was hibernating, and so when they came out of their caves or whatever, they're like, what happened? And that's how the mammals, perhaps, or the next iteration of life, right, was able to flourish, because the stuff that was where the asteroid struck was wiped out instantly.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, so for mammals, I feel like that would have been a pretty rough few centuries following that that massive extinction event. So, yeah, like, that could have been a rough period to live through. I mean, like, there's so many obvious ones, like the plague sounds terrible. Yeah. Like World War II. I mean, there's people that still alive now that, like, actually did live through that. And it was brutal. Like, I mean, right now, I feel like every iteration of human existence is pretty terrible, like we've talked about. Mm-hmm. But, like, is there a worst event? Like, I mean, all of them are bad, but, like, for me, again, still thinking about Pompeii, still thinking about living through a volcanic eruption and, like, that destroying my town and everything like that, that still sounds terrifying to me.
Yeah, the great syphilis outbreak of 1802, I think that for sure it has to deal with plague and, like, I just got done reading a loosely historical fiction called Shogun, and it's about how, as Westerners were making their way to the East, the Eastern peoples were like, why are you so gross? And it's because the Western people were like, because if you bathe, that's how you get the pneumonia and die. And the Eastern people were like, that's not smart. And they were like, yes, it is. Now suck this gun. And so, like, just knowing that the plague was avoidable, but then just watching people get decimated and not understanding how, but if someone had it, they would bleed you to, like, make you stronger against it. Which, it's got to be sometime around then. I think about, like, your place in history so much, because, I would go back and punch a professor that I had in college if I could right now. It would be awkward because it was a woman and people really frown upon that. But she called me out in front of the class for having this take on like, we had an assignment to go back and research something from whenever and then write about how we perceived the time period versus now. And I was like, it's crazy that they're swearing so much, because history has erased all of the filthy language and made the American 40s and 50s so idyllic that there's like the mention of like swear words and stuff like that is so shocking to me. And so like I'm blown away by the idea that we have the internet right now, but as a kid I just rode my bike everywhere and didn't need to be on, you know, I didn't need to be playing Minecraft or whatever. And video games were only interesting for 20 to 30 minutes. There wasn't a 70-hour quest that you could go on or whatever.
Yeah.
And so like I think all the time about like if you were living back then, you're like, this blows, but at least we have, and then whatever the thing that you had developed as a culture. So
what, it's like what, it's like we live in one of the most obviously, like I mean, in, as our species goes, we're living in the most technologically advanced time. And but at the same time, like you also hear people say, like especially on certain news, you know, channels that like we are living in the most divided time in the history, or we're living in like this is the worst possible time in history, like because we have access to so much more information that makes everything around the world seem so much more terrible, right? But like if you just our American centric view of the world is like, man, like World War II, which was terrible, was objectively terrible. But like we don't learn about things like the Taiping Rebellion or like the Ming transition to the Qing Dynasty, like all of these insane historic wars where millions, tens of millions of people died through revolution, through just absolute tyranny and like things like that. But we don't get that kind of like global world history most of the time in the United States. Now, maybe if you go to like a great school and you have awesome teachers who do teach you more than
there's just not time for it though. There's just not time. Like there's no way that people could learn about what happens in America except for like the very general, like 9/11. That was a bad, that was the thing that made everyone real mad.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. Yeah. But like those are like the, you know, the it was the English that controlled it, and then the French came in and kicked the English out, and then the Americans were like, hooray! And that's like effectively all you would know about American independence, if even that, if you lived in China in the 1970s.
Yeah. It's so I don't know. It's just this idea that you're right, like our place in history is so short compared to the you know, hundreds of thousands of years you know, where of civilization and things like that, where like so many terrible things have happened. However, I'm still gonna go and say like the plague, where there's just like bodies out in the street and things like that, like awful, absolutely awful.
I'm not quite dead yet.
There's terrible. I'm just old. Shut up, old man.
Yeah, like even the Thescalosaurus, that thing, like, you know, that is a considerable evolution and it existed for like a million years. I don't. Humans gonna make it a million years? Like I find it real hard to believe that that would be the case.
I think it's I think it is absolutely wild that if this is true, I mean, to the best of our these scientists, these North Dakota scientists knowledge, they're from North Dakota, was it dipped in oil before you took a bite of it?
No, they, just racism. Oh, okay, checks out.
Yeah, okay, awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Against who, though? Native American, probably.
Yeah, probably.
The idea that, like, we're talking about, you said 66 million years ago, that they estimate that that
how the f*** do they know it was 66 million years ago? And then on
first
top of that,
all,
be like,
and
it was on Tuesday
this,
the 9th.
And then this happened the same day. Like, this dinosaur leg that rained down. Like, okay, also, just imagine with me for a second, like, the cartoonish... like they just found this leg with flesh and tissue on it, right? Like they just found this. So this massive asteroid hits, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, rocks and stuff. Is that a leg? Is it, you just hear this dinosaur somewhere else? My leg,
guys.
It's just funny, like to I feel like there's a cartoon depiction of this is like when that dust cloud hits up and everything like that, and then there's just like a leg pops out and a rock pops out.
All right, wow, well we've gone on quite the adventure today. It's really been full of interesting giggles and lots of incorrect things and almost no knowledge of anything whatsoever, but a lot of speculation. So that brings us to what did we learn this week? After all, this is a heady show.
Gregor, what did you learn this week?
I learned about Maple Valley Fun Dip, marshmallows and Tang together.
I grew up in that city, and I did not know about the Maple Valley Fun Dip, but I knew about the Maple Valley Fun Dip. You know what I mean?
Brandon, what did we learn this week?
I learned that we figured out how to make ambergris in space.
Zero G, ambergris.
I also learned that it costs extra to poop in space.
Yeah, right? That's really fascinating.
That's not even a joke. That's just true.
That's not us being crass.
Actually did learn that this week. I mean, often these are just jokes, but like I've learned something this week. Gregor, what else did we learn this week?
Brandon's end of life thermometer oddly involves the number of cows.
I wonder how many
cows you slept with. I hope it's zero.
No, I was going to say how many pools
of cows
are filled with cow pee. Yeah, how many pools could I fill with all of the cows that I've eaten?
There you go. Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah! Hey, join us every Tuesday for Nerd Talk Plus. We're back in action and live on the Odyssey app at 10 a.m. And we love having you along for the ride. It's a lot of dumb fun, as you can tell. We giggle a whole lot. So thanks a lot. Follow us on social. He's at BrandonMG, and not the Brandon that they use to say let's go. Just Google it. And then I'm at Hey Gregor as well. So give us a follow. Have a good week.
Bye.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.